The biggest moments in the games.
Mookie jumps up and he has it in the glove, and a Yankee fan ripped it out of him. But the umpire down the right field line is signaling that is an out.
The biggest voices in sports.
Appreciate everything that, you know, the Houston Astros team, and I don't think I could have gone to, you know, a much better organization than the Cubs.
The heartbreak.
It's a party at Dodger Stadium. The New York Mets, as they leave the field and head to their clubhouse, have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of, as they gave their fans one of the most memorable runs in their 63-year franchise history.
The celebrations.
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Buehler. Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA! They've done it! They finished the job and give Los Angeles the parade it's been waiting for!
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That it is, disembodied voice. Welcome to the Bulletin Blitz on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. It's the audio of the day segment, just like the disembodied voice said. On Mondays, we'll get you the audio of your day slash weekend, and that's it. You'll like it. We'll start here. Bart, let's go to your guy, your boy, your hero, and everything wrong with the All-Star Game format. Let's go to Jacob Mizorowski, who, congratulations, after five starts, will make the All-Star game.
Yeah, four of them good.
Yeah, four of them pretty good. He'll make his All-Star game debut tomorrow. Here's A.J. Pierzynski. If you don't know him, you're familiar with his work. He's a broadcaster now, but he was on the Chicago White Sox, among another couple of other teams. It's a really good career. But, you know, he gets paid to do what we do, and that's give opinions. And he was not a fan of this move whatsoever, courtesy of the Foul Territory podcast.
When you first heard that five starts into his big league career, the Miz got the call to ATL, you were probably so excited and said, yup, deserves it.
Yeah, no, that is not exactly what I did. I did exactly what the Phillies said. Like, no, I'm sorry. I love the kid, but five starts. No. And this is 100% a league decision, because they got to pick whoever they wanted. It wasn't like he was voted on by the players, because when the players' vote happened, he hadn't even been probably pitched in the big leagues yet. Or he maybe had one or two starts. So
Juan didn't get in, and he was the MVP. He was the player of the month for June. They voted before that even
happened. They vote late June. I think they vote in like the June.
Mizorowski has less appearances on the mound than I do in the big league.
How many appearances you got?
I don't know. I know it's seven.
More than five?
Seven.
Okay.
More than five.
So a lot of players are probably pissed about this, besides just the Phillies guys who were vocal because they want their guys there.
But people have bonuses attached to this.
Yeah.
Right? So whether Juan Soto makes $700 million, he still gets a big bonus for being elected an All-Star. So for Mizorowski to get this, it's like, okay, Christopher Sanchez is the obvious choice, but there's other people that have obvious choices. And there's a lot of people that, you know, obviously aren't coming this year, which is also disappointing. But the ones that, like, you could find someone to come that has been there all year and done a lot of good things. And the fact that Christopher Sanchez isn't here and Mizorowski is, Philly summed it up perfectly when they said it was a joke.
Eric Kratz and Scott Braun, the other voices there, part of the show Foul Territory, as Carlos mentioned. I'll say what I said on Friday. If you don't like this, that there's this young kid, phenom, throws 103 miles an hour, that has had some big-time starts already, out-dueling Clayton Kershaw, who, by the way, is in the... Look at his stats. Out-dueled Paul Skenes. There's something happening with this young man in baseball. Thought, let's put him in the game. Because what do we always complain about with baseball? Oh, they don't promote their young stars. They're promoting their young star. So if you don't like it, you don't like it, but you can never make that argument again because they're doing the thing that you've wanted them to do. Great for baseball, by the way. Not only is this kid going to be in, but baseball found a way to have like a, you know, kind of like a meaty like argument and be in the dominant headlines over the weekend and even get a little action here on a Monday. So good on baseball, killing two birds with one stone. Yeah. Yeah, there's some other guys, Carlos, that didn't get in, but since when are we as a country going to go to bat for Ranger Suarez? And there was plenty of guys too that turned it down, and baseball's just like, screw it. This is our 15th replacement. Let's get somebody that the fans want to see.
Yeah, I don't really have too much of an issue with it. I mean, five starts, that's a very small sample size. And like I said last week, I think the only issue I have is we're crowning the kid too quickly. I've seen the downfalls come very fast with meteoric rises, and I hope that this doesn't get to him. I hope he stays grounded and he becomes a contributor for a long time. Or maybe I don't want that because then he's pitching against my Cubs a couple times.
Also, like, if you're going to be mad, don't be mad at him. You can be mad, but don't take it out on him. And what is he supposed to do? You give somebody this opportunity, they're supposed to say no? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, if you're going to give me free money, I'm going to take it. It's not my fault. Don't get mad at me because I got an extra couple bucks. So, good for him. Let's stay with baseball. Let's go to the commissioner of baseball for now, Rob Manfred. He spoke a bunch with Pat McAfee. For now, I'm just going to play him talking about MLB media rights because, right now there is no national partner after this season. ESPN and MLB kind of mutually declined to continue, but they are still renegotiating, and MLB is keeping his options open. So we got to figure out, hey, where are these games going to be broadcasted? So here's Rob Manfred talking about those rights.
Number one, we want to sell more games nationally. We think it's good for our exposure, more broadcast exposure, big game exposure. We also believe that the buyers that are out there are going to be national buyers, particularly the streaming companies. Secondly, we need to streamline our offering. We need to get out of the blackout business. And we are too many places right now. We've experimented. Apple's been a great experiment, but we do have a lot of fragmentation. We need to get into a more streamlined model where a fan knows, Friday, I want to see my game tonight. Either they go to a digital service, they know the game's there. If it's not there, it's going to be one of a couple of the national games, and it's easy for the fan.
I would, if I was baseball, stay off the streaming services. I know everybody's rushing to trip over themselves to get to Amazon and Netflix. And Apple, with F1 going there, I would keep it. I mean, this is America's pastime. You know what else is America's pastime? Broadcast television. NBC could be a player for the Sunday night rights because they want to go football into basketball into baseball. So every Sunday night, there's a game of some kind on NBC. I think that's a good idea for them. But it is too fractured. He is right about that. There's games on Apple. There's game. He didn't mention Roku. Fox has their package of games. And then over on FS1. I think another player that would be good is there's a weekly game Tuesday nights on TBS for some reason. And then they get some of the playoff games. Turner can get more involved here. They just lost NBA. The overlapping window is kind of brief, really just in the spring. But they're like as much of a sports network as any of these other channels. All day long, they play random shows, and then, like, every night they try to have a sporting event of some kind, bidding on leagues you've never heard of, whatever Athletes Unlimited is. So he's right, and they just need to figure that out, make sure that, hey, it's Friday night. I know there's a game on this channel, and more national is better. I agree.
Yeah, because these regional blackouts are absolutely killing me.
All that too, yeah.
It's the worst. On Sunday, I live in New York. I am a Cubs fan, and it's advertised that the Cubs and Yankees, the series finale, is going to be on MLB Network. I tune on MLB Network, and it's Tampa versus Boston. It's not the Cubs versus the Yankees. I can't watch it in New York because it's blacked out for local reasons, and I'm not going to go chase down which local station has it. So they really got to streamline this stuff because it really bothers them. I think regional sports networks are absolutely killing baseball, but everybody's trying to get a payday. Let's switch gears. Let's go to college football. Here's Greg Sankey. He's a commissioner of the Big 12, and he spoke about a couple of things on the SEC network, but I want to hear his take, even though Jen Williams played it on the update, on what he thinks about the current state of college football is.
Let me be clear, from my perspective, college athletics is not broken. College athletics is not broken.
SEC.
It is under stress.
That's what I said.
It is strained. The answers we seek are tied into the complexities that have been referenced over time.
Housekeeping, SEC. I don't know why I said Big 12. Brett Yormark is the
Yormark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
That was a total brain fart. Especially so since it says SEC Network on the damn cut.
Who's the Big Ten commish?
Good question. I only know Yormark and Sankey off the top of my heads.
How do I not know? I'm Big Ten boy. Tony Petitti?
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right. The SEC is also trying to drive this, give us four automatic qualifiers. They got to be done with that. They're going to get four teams every time. And maybe once every 6 years, they only get three. Deal with it. Especially if you expand to 16. Just deal with it. So that's my message to the SEC tonight.
All right, we got time for one more here. We'll stay with college football. Let's go to Lane Kiffin, who is the head coach of Ole Miss. That one I can verify. That's absolutely true, I think. Lane Kiffin also was at Alabama. He worked under Nick Saban as an offensive coordinator there. Did pretty well. Name a place that Lane Kiffin hasn't worked at. But he also, on the SEC Network, talked about the potential of Nick Saban coming back to coach.
I wouldn't be surprised. I kind of always thought that was going to happen. I kind of thought it happened after 1 year. And I say that just because even seeing recent stuff with him and talking to him on the phone, at first of all, I have no knowledge that he's coming back. I don't think anybody does that. He's so sharp still. I almost feel like it's a waste that he's not. No disrespect to the media and what you guys do, but his ability to coach players and change lives, and he's so good at it. I just think he'll be back, whether that's NFL or college.
This comes from Greg McElroy saying that a person very much in the know seems to think he's not done coaching. And McElroy would have never even brought this up if the person who told him this wasn't somebody notable. So everyone's trying to connect the dots. Saban's 73 years old. So if you're worried about age, then again, I don't think people are. So sure, come on back, take a school to 9 wins.